Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
Coming up, we feature cod, shrimp, oysters, herring, halibut, orange roughy, scallops, shark, and red snapper, and more. Sound good? Sure. Good choices? You may be surprised. We learn how to use the Seafood Watch National Seafood Guide and how you can get yours absolutely free. It's all coming up when your Voice of the Earth continues here on the Wildside News. We continue our discussion of Monterey Bay's Seafood Watch Guide with Ken Peterson, and how you can know what fish to eat or what fish not to eat.
Of course, this really helps people to force the answers from those people who make their living selling fish, either in restaurants or other sources, you know, to become aware.
That's it. Well, and the other direction that we've grown in over the last few years, we started out, and a lot of other folks in the Seafood Choices movement did as well, working from the ground up, where you put these pocket guides in the hands of individual consumers, arm them with information, send them into the marketplace, and say, hey, here, now you have what you need to know to make good choices. We also realized that it's probably more effective if you can actually convince the supermarket, the restaurant, the food service provider to change their practices so that they are no longer offering to their customers any of the avoid list items. And we've been having a lot of success in that direction, not just us, but the broader movement. And I'll mention a couple that are like huge scale and maybe kind of surprising. Mm-hmm. Just within the last month or so, Walmart, which is not necessarily the greatest corporate citizen on a lot of fronts, announced that within 3 years it will only be carrying sustainable seafood in all of its U.S. stores. Compass Group North America, which is the single largest food service company in the U.S., Canada, and Mexico, made a similar announcement just a week ago. They are only going to be carrying sustainable seafoods within the next few years as they transition there. These are big, big announcements because Compass Group has food service operations in places like the Getty Center in Los Angeles, the aquarium here in Monterey, where they've already and long been deeply committed to sustainable seafood. They are at corporate headquarters and all kinds of other places. So people who are going to be eating in those facilities will not even have to think about the seafood, and they will probably be trumpeting the fact that they're going sustainable with their seafood choices.
Now, I know, for example, in forestry products, you have the FSC, the Forest Stewardship Council.
I believe it is. There's a Marine Stewardship Council for seafood that's kind of the gold standard, and you can actually see the MSC label.
Are we seeing that very, very often these days on store-bought fish?
More so. Places, some of the, more organic type grocers, whether it's the big ones like the Whole Foods of the world or the smaller regional ones, are buying more Marine Stewardship Council certified seafood. That list of certified species and fish items is growing over time.
That will grow, and we'll see this more often. That'll be a terrific advantage to wise buying.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. And we're also using these gatekeepers. I mean, we do an event here at the aquarium every year in May called Cooking for Solutions that brings in some of the top chefs in the country, well-known folks like Jack Pepin or Alice Waters or Martin Yan, who are committed to sustainability themselves. And they are preparing gourmet meals and public events here at the aquarium that are showing folks that you can eat incredible, delicious, fresh, sustainable seafood, organic gourmet dishes for the produce, sustainably grown wines, and it's not a sacrifice, it is in fact better than the things that you would get if you were buying conventional produce, conventional wine, and not paying attention to where your seafood comes from. And the restaurants are moving strongly to become leaders in changing the eating habits of their customers. There's a whole group called the Chefs Collaborative that has chefs nationwide that are changing, and that's kind of the white tablecloth restaurant. But then you get these big food service companies and others who are also changing. So the consumer, if we're fortunate a few years down the road, won't have to be asking as many questions because the questions will have been asked and answered by their providers, whether it's the market or the restaurant, and you can just go there with confidence, and they'll declare we're only selling sustainable seafood, the way you'll find some restaurants and some stores saying this is organic or this is locally grown and in season and fresh.
You know, with all the bad news about the oceans, this is the good side, is the fact that these types of changes are being implemented in very mainstream corporations. We're becoming aware of our choices, and it's spreading into the general public.
And even the business has become very passionate about it. We have a company here who does a food service for the aquarium called Bon Appetit Management Company, not affiliated with the magazine Bon Appetit. They're headquartered in the Bay Area. And they, when we looked at our own seafood menu and said, we need to change this because we need to walk the talk about sustainable seafood, they embraced that immediately. Mm-hmm. That then went from doing it just here at the aquarium to doing it at the 150 corporate accounts that Bon Appetit Management has around the nation. They took it into even beyond seafood because they understood the importance of the integrity of food production process to the quality of the meals they're presenting and the health of the planet. So it was buy more sustainable, buy more organic, buy more local in season. They are a subsidiary of this giant company, Compass Group North America, mm-hmm. and they, because of their passion, their commitment, and the demonstration that not only does it produce incredibly good-tasting food, but it also benefits their bottom line, was able to help convince the parent company to move it forward. So it ripples throughout, and once you become aware, you can't close your eyes, pretend you don't know any longer, your passion and conviction can convince others.
There's kind of two interesting sides to this story, too. And certainly the information is coming out that we've known this a long time. Fish is terrific brain food. It has literally been proven to be probably the best tonic for brain maintenance out there. And so there's many people who are choosing to add fish to their diet or increase the consumption at a time when, unfortunately, that's a challenge. There is this good side to eating fish, but then, of course, the other side is the fact that in many cases the fish species are contaminated with all sorts of, it becomes dangerous.
PCBs, mercury, and what have you, because they're concentrating up the food web things that we're putting into it one way or another. Mm-hmm. And, in fact, one of the changes that we made in our pocket guide just this year was to partner with Environmental Defense. And based on their research on the health risks from eating too much of particular species, we've added a red asterisk by a number of those species where there is an FDA or an Environmental Protection Agency mercury advisory for women childbearing age and for children. And we'll look at any other contaminants down the road. So we're trying to add layers of information for folks so they can help make not only wise choices for the health of the ocean, but wise choices for the health of themselves and their family.
Exactly right. For example, on the avoid list, I would say probably 70% or so have the red asterisk, which suggests that there's a mercury or other contaminants.
Right.
And so it's a wise choice not only for sustainability of the health of the oceans, but as well our own health.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. We're getting a lot more people who are fired up about this, and I talked about some of the businesses that are changing, but mm-hmm. we've actually through our program now trying to activate folks who want to do more than just carry a pocket guide. We actually have a whole group of folks who have signed up as Seafood Watch advocates, and we have a separate web address, seafoodwatch.org, people can log on to. And you can actually sign up to become an activist. You can carry the pocket guide, obviously. But we've also created a whole little kit that people can request from us, where if you go into a restaurant where they're serving sustainable seafood, you can leave a little card that says thank you. And if they're serving something that's on the red list, you can put a little card that says become aware and gives them a way to connect with our Seafood Watch program, get more information. We've got a whole training program now for restaurateurs and their staff so that they can answer customer questions so that they can make choices, so they can make substitutions that they've always used, Chilean sea bass. We'll give them some alternative species they can select that are sustainable as opposed to ones that are being strip mined out of the ocean. And then we'll do little email alerts to folks the way a lot of organizations are doing now if there's something they can do to step up for ocean wildlife.
Now, if people want to participate in either becoming an activist or learning more as a restaurateur or mm-hmm. cook, or if they just want to find this guide, how can they do so?
Seafoodwatch.org. It's very simple and straightforward, and it's easy to log on. Lots of information. All of our research reports and every seafood species we have can be found right there. And all the pocket guides that we have everywhere in the country, we have, as I say, we have them for every region of the United States. If, for example, you're going to travel to Hawaii, you can download and print out one of our Hawaii pocket guides before you go, and then you'll have the species that you're going to find only in Hawaii. You probably won't see on the menu other places. So I'm just going to, like, red snapper from the Northwest Hawaiian Islands, or spearfish, or trevally, things that are not going to turn up on the menu or in the seafood market in San Diego or L.A. or Monterey, but will turn up on the menu if you go to Hawaii to order it.
Right, that's fabulous. Let's have a little fun here. For example, one thing I notice is that cod is on all the lists.
Right.
And so this is a situation where you go in and you say, well, what is the status on cod? The pocket guide itself will resolve that. To give some insight into how this has been determined.
Cod is the traditional, you know, the white fish, the staple of New England and eastern Canada, the Grand Banks. It was the basis for, you know, the economy of a lot of fishing communities for a long, long time. There were even cod wars because it was so valuable. There, you know, you could practically walk on the backs of codfish off the eastern seaboard when people from Europe first came there. What happened was, through mismanagement, that population of fish collapsed in the last 25 years, to the point that in eastern Canada there were 30 or 40,000 people thrown out of work because there were no more cod to catch or process. You know, it's an environmental disaster, it's a social and economic disaster for the region, and it has not yet recovered, and there are some fishery scientists who question if cod will ever be able to reoccupy the niche it once had because of changes to the habitat and other creatures moving in and taking their place in the food web. So while there may be some sources that you can find if you go to New England, where there are fishermen who are hook and line catching cod under very restrictive guidelines, and it would be okay to order it there, as a blanket rule, if you see Atlantic cod somewhere, it is not being caught sustainably, or Icelandic cod is the same thing, and we would put that on the red list.
Mm-hmm.
Now, flip side of that, if you look at Pacific cod, which is being caught in Alaska, the very best choice you can make is trap or hook and line caught. Again, you don't have a lot of damage to habitat. You're not taking other species because the cod tend to appear in fairly dense aggregations, dense schools when they're around. And if you know who your supplier is and you can ask them that question, that would be a best choice. Pacific longline or trawl caught cod is a good alternative, but the challenge there is that there are some habitat damage involved with the trawling.
Mm-hmm.
The long lining could wind up catching some other animals, seabirds and other marine animals that are killed and then thrown overboard as bycatch.
Mm-hmm.
So if your tolerance for that level of damage to the environment or other wildlife is a little higher, you might say, okay, if I don't know the source of the specific cod, I'll still order it. But if I'm really feeling, you know, I don't want to be responsible, you know, do no harm at all, then I would ask and say, is this trap or hook and line caught Pacific cod? And that would be the best choice, and you could make that selection there.
Let's say you go into the restaurant and you just want to be safe. What are, let's say, two or three examples of fish that if you order that fish, you're probably going to be all right?
Okay, I would say anytime you get Dungeness crab in season, no problem at all. Anytime you get Pacific halibut, which is a pretty good choice right here in California, certainly. If you get the pink shrimp, the little bay shrimp that you often see in seafood salads, not the bigger ones, but those tiny little ones,
mm-hmm.
that would be always a safe choice. Striped bass, which is a farmed fish by and large, always a safe choice. Rainbow trout, always. Farmed mussels, oysters, always a good choice, as well as farmed clams. And if you get domestic caviar, surprisingly, if you're looking for a treat, of course, the beluga caviar from the Caspian is now outlawed for import into the U.S. because the species is so endangered in the Caspian. But farmed caviar is a best choice because it's done in a very sustainable way with white sturgeon. And so you can have yourself a very elegant treat there without feeling at all any guilt about the health of the environment.
All right, let's go to the other extreme.
Well, certainly, anytime you see Chilean sea bass or Patagonian toothfish, that is an absolute avoid. The same thing for orange roughy. In the case of the Chilean sea bass, there is some minimal legitimate fishery, but more of it is being caught by fishery pirates who care nothing about the health of the environment or the long-term survival of the population. And it just encourages continued violation of fisheries management. Orange roughy is a very deep water fish, long-lived. There are some of them that were could have been alive at the time that Abraham Lincoln was president. And they are basically, when fishermen find them, they go into an area where they're abundant. They catch them until they aren't abundant. And that's because they basically strip-mined the population out of the wild. Farmed salmon is an avoid species, and that's going to be a lot of the salmon you see in most places you go. Imported swordfish. If you get some domestic swordfish, there may be some that are on our good alternatives list. There's still some challenges, but that population's coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, monkfish would be another species to avoid.
This is a fabulously efficient little way to make a difference. This is the Monterey Bay Aquarium Seafood Watch National Seafood Guide available. Why don't you give us that website again where they can go to get this?
You can go right to seafoodwatch.org. It's just part of the overall aquarium website, and you can get into the rest of the aquarium's website at the same time. But you can get all the information, get any questions asked and answered about why we have our different recommendations. You can download any of our pocket guides, whether it's a national one, a West Coast regional guide, one for Hawaii or any other part of the U.S. you may be traveling to. And it's right there and updated regularly.
And what do you have coming up at the Monterey Bay Aquarium in the months ahead?
Well, we're doing a whole series of events this year called the Year of Exploring, trying to connect kids more and families more deeply with wildlife. We're encouraging explorations. You'll get out there in nature, and we're having special events here every month or so that folks can find out about on our website at MontereyBayAquarium.org. For those people who want to eat gourmet and sustainably and learn something about what makes for sustainable seafood, we've got a great event coming up in May 19th and 20th called Cooking for Solutions with some incredible chefs from around the country. And it's a gourmet gala on a Friday night, this Cooking for Solutions event. And you can find out about that at cookingforsolutions.org, which is another part of the aquarium's website. And just the usual incredible exhibits. We're considered the number one aquarium in the U.S. and among the top family attractions in the country. Always something new and amazing to see.
Well, if anybody ever needed another reason to go to San Francisco, they just got another one.
There you go. And we're just a couple hours south of San Francisco, and you either drive up the Highway 1 or come down on the way back to Southern California. Take yourself through Big Sur part of the way. It's really a gorgeous part of the world and a place where you can connect very deeply with nature. You can see a lot of the marine life, in particular when you're in the aquarium, and then connect with it and understand it better as you're traveling the coast through the region.
Ken Peterson with the Monterey Bay Aquarium, I want to thank you for lending your voice here on the Wild Side News.
It's been my pleasure, and thanks for all that you do.
Each of us makes thousands of little choices each day. With billions of people on the planet making trillions of right choices or trillions of wrong choices, every day makes a difference. Choose right, or things can go wrong, as they did 60 years ago, when the freedoms we fought and died for were sequestered in the name of war. Sound familiar? It's Manzanar. What's that mean? You'll find out after this short break, when your voice of the earth continues here on the Wild Side News.